On today's episode, the boys will talk about the Suffolk County Championship for the Hills West football team. They'll also talk about Monday Night Football, which is tonight. We'll talk college football and a whole lot more. We're fired up. Let's do it. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Colts Corner Podcast. We have a great episode on tap for you guys. I'm Douglas Latuca alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Mike Garafa. Good weekend of sports, especially for Hills West football. Great win. Moving on to the Long Island Championship.
For sure, and I'm definitely happy to be here on Monday, making my Monday definitely a little bit brighter.
Absolutely. Great Monday for us on the podcast today, and a great Saturday for the Colts on the football field.
Yeah, let's get right into this game. Hills West, West Hampton. Brian and I were there. 10-0 West Hampton into the first half, or at the end of the first half. Mm-hmm. It could have been a lot worse. Could have been 17-0. Very underrated part of that game, Brian, that tackle that Davon Wright made as the kid on West Hampton was going down the right side. Davon hunts him down and around the 10-yard line, tackles him, four straight stops for the Hills West D, and 17-0 going into half. That would have been
devastating.
That's a shot at your moral.
Tough hill to climb.
Yeah, definitely a tough hill to climb. But the second half, Brian, what can you say? I mean, that three-headed monster in the backfield, the Kim Griffin, Justin Brown, Davon Wright, just absolutely electric.
It was absolutely electric. Davon Wright getting into the offense. thank you, Garafa. Davon Wright getting into the offense was truly phenomenal for the Colts. DeKim looked great. He actually left the game with an injury. It looked like an ankle injury. We'll get a little more updates on that as the week goes on. But Justin Brown was great in the backfield. Davon stepped in very nicely. It was a great day for the Colts.
Yeah, great day, and I was not in attendance. I was watching Cuse Notre Dame, which we'll jump into a little bit later, but I was watching the replay. They have a little huddle. They record the game, and the DeKim Griffin touchdown. Unbelievable. He trampled over two guys and ran down the left side of the field and into the end zone. An outstanding run, and then you talk about Davon Wright, who hasn't really played a lot on the offensive side of the ball, but with Griffin going out, steps in, one run, and he's gone, puts up six on the board for the Colts. Just like that, they're right back in the game. And now we're talking about in a Long Island Championship coming up this Saturday, 4:30 at Hofstra, and it should be a real good one against Plain Edge.
Yeah, Davon, like you said, hasn't been playing a lot of offense this year, pretty much forced into that role with his little brother, DeKim Griffin, getting injured. And he looked great. I'm expecting him to definitely get some more offensive touches mm-hmm. on Saturday against Plain Edge. They're 11-0. We'll go into that one in a little bit. But, man, he's just so dynamic on the offensive side of the ball. Brian, you were saying it all game, even before DeKim got hurt. And he proved it with that 79-yard touchdown run down the side.
Absolutely. He's one of the best athletes we have on this team, in this school, honestly. And what I was really impressed with was not necessarily the offense and the way that they played, but the way that the defense stepped up. And especially, it was actually led by, of course, Davon Wright. He had an excellent game. He had a few big plays. He knocked the ball out of a receiver's hands on one play, forcing an incompletion sometime in the first half. Or it was sometime in the middle of the game around there. It was a great play by Davon. It was truly special. And he led an excellent defensive effort. Some more guys that played great. Mike Smith, of course, he had a great game. Joey Venezia was incredible. Gerald Filardi was great on the defensive side. That defense really played great, and it's what you love to see.
Yeah, so Saturday should be a challenge for the Colts going up against Plain Edge. I don't believe that they've lost a game in their division in years. I don't know the exact total of years. I think it was around five. But obviously their division probably not as strong. But when you're undefeated for years going uphill against Hills West, it could be an interesting matchup. And we'll see how it goes. But Plain Edge last week with a win.
Yeah, Plain Edge is definitely a tall task for the Colts. They're 11-0. They destroyed Wantagh 35-7 in the national. That's the county championship.
Oh, yeah.
Win 35-7. You win by four touchdowns.
That's a pounding.
Definitely a pounding. And
it's a beatdown.
We don't know a lot about Plain Edge at this point, but we'll give you some names here. Just an absolute, just a mauling with their backfield. Dion Quinlan, I don't know how to pronounce
Quinlan, probably.
Quinlan, probably. 19 attempts, 130 yards and a touchdown. Luke Lombardi, 9 rushes, 108 yards and a touchdown. And Dan Villari, 12 rushes, 54 yards, and two touchdowns. So you're looking at everything here. You're looking at a lot of yards per carry. You're looking at a lot of carries, and you're looking at a lot of touchdowns for Plainedge.
Yeah, but if you think about it, for Hills West, their strength on defense is stopping the run. They do an outstanding job clogging up the middle. And if Plainedge is going to have any success on the offensive side of the ball, they're going to have to figure out a way to do it without that run game. But teams have had success running the ball to the outer edge, not in the middle, but once you work the sidelines, they've had a little bit more success with that run game. So we'll see what happens in that game. That's at Hofstra, 4:30 on Saturday. We will most likely be in attendance. I do have tickets to Rangers Capitals, 2 o'clock start at the Garden. Ooh. So I'll see what I can do. But most of our sports guys, I know most of you guys will be in attendance for that game.
Absolutely.
And we'll have live tweeting on our Twitter. I believe it's West Roundup on Twitter. Something like that. Just look up Hills West Media, something like that. We'll be doing live tweets for you from that game. So if you want to stay tuned and you can't,
but you should join, show up to the game.
Yeah, should show up. $6 probably is the total at Hofstra. So get ready for that one. Should be an exciting game on Saturday. We'll move over to tonight, since today's podcast is on a Monday. We have not finished the week out of football. Huge Monday night matchup. We spoke about it a little bit on the podcast last week, but we got to talk about it today. Two of the premier teams in the league, Kansas City traveling to L.A. to face off with the Rams, and we're expecting a shootout. We're expecting one of the best games of the NFL season.
Yeah, what more can you say? These are two of the three best teams in the NFL, and however order you want to put them, if you throw in the Saints in there, and it's just star players all over the field, talent galore. I know Brian's got a lot to say about this one. Doug's got a lot to say about this one. I'm sure Garofalo will even chip in.
Of course.
And I'm so excited for this one. I'm excited that it's in L.A., not in Mexico City. You like that home environment, even though the Rams don't get the biggest home crowds.
Yeah.
It should be a heck of an environment there in L.A. tonight. And last week on the podcast on Thursday, I said it was the highest total in NFL history. And that number is 63.5 right now, which is just, that's a Big 12 number right there, Brian. That's out of this world for a Big Ten, for a NFL game.
Yeah, I'm psyched for this game. I mean, there's not much to say. We got the number two offense in the NFL right now against the number four offense in the NFL, and defenses are going to be hard to come by in this game. The Chiefs, number 30 ranked defense in the NFL.
Oof.
Rams at 15, and they've been trending downward lately, especially in the rush defense category. Two of the best rushing teams, two of the best passing teams. Everything you could look for in an offense is showing tonight. 63.5 might be a little low for the over under. Honestly, If I were making a bet on this game, I'd bet the over here. It's gonna be truly an excellent game.
No, yep. We're not promoting sports betting.
Yes,
absolutely not. No sports betting. I would never do.
Well, come on. One mistake I definitely made was not drafting any Chiefs or Rams except for Travis Kelce. But that guy, he's on and off every other week. But you think about that. I took Le'Veon Bell with my first overall pick in two fantasy leagues instead of Todd Gurley. It's just a mistake. And, you know, we all make mistakes here. Doesn't take away from my credibility on the fantasy football breakdown. Who would have expected Le'Veon to not play the whole season? But let's get back to the game here. Two very good offenses. I'm expecting a shootout. Mahomes is special. Goff is special. Two rising stars in the NFL. And it should be one of the best games on this of the NFL season. And it's great that it's in prime time. That's what you love to see. Should be a great time here tonight. Let's talk a little spotlight player too. There are a couple guys that stand out. Ben, give me your spotlight.
Oh man, this is tough. But in this, there's so many guys to choose from in this game. I'm gonna highlight a guy. May not be the most talented guy on the field. May not be the best guy on the field. But I'm gonna go with Robert Woods. Rams receiver, like we talked about extensively, Cooper Kupp, out for the season, tore his ACL. So
yeah,
it's him and Cooks in that wide receiver core. Josh Reynolds obviously coming up. He's a big name to think of as the Rams go on with the season. But I'm liking Robert Woods in this game to have a big game. He's been good for me in fantasy. We won't get to do the fantasy football breakdown this week, so just give him a little shout-out here. And I'm very excited for this one. I think there will be a ton of players who have great games, but I'm spotlighting Robert Woods in this one.
I love the spotlight, considering he is on my fantasy team. So I do like Robert Woods, definitely. But I mean, there's no competition in my mind for the spotlight. It's the Cheetah. It's Tyreek Hill. He could change the game with one play, and he will do it in this game because there will not be much defense. And when there's not much defense, you let the Cheetah run wild, and that's what he's going to do in this one. Tyreek Hill this season, he's got 55 catches for 891 yards and 9 touchdowns this year. He's not just a big play threat anymore, although he is the biggest big play threat in the NFL.
Yep.
So he's the most dangerous guy on the field. He's obviously the biggest threat out there. He's my spotlight player of the week.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of these guys. I was just trying to go with a more like low profile compared to the, totally. The superstars on the field.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp would be my spotlight guy. He was actually the only Ram that I drafted, the only player out of this game that I've drafted, obviously out for the year with that torn ACL, which is a real killer. Huge problem for my fantasy team as well. But my spotlight guy, I did just trash him a little bit before for the on and off play, but it's Travis Kelce. The guy is a big game player. He's a great pass catcher, does everything well as the tight end position. And we talk about the electric receivers in both of these areas. You have Hill. You have Watkins. I don't know if Watkins is going to play tonight.
Right, he's always questionable.
If he plays, you got Hill, Watkins, and then on the other side, as we spoke about before, with Cooks and Robert Woods. So you got those receivers, but the tight end position is a huge mismatch for the Chiefs this week. LA doesn't really have that stud tight end, and Travis Kelce is a game changer. If he catches 2 to 3 touchdowns, which I think he might do tonight, I think the Chiefs have a shot to win this game.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, Sammy Watkins may be out. You got to look for someone else to step up. Obviously, they have Hunt, Hill, and Kelce. I'm sure all three of them have big games tonight. But maybe a couple guys you got to keep your eye on tonight.
Yep.
Chris Conley.
Yes.
DeMarcus Robinson. DeAnthony Thomas. We'll see. But Mikey Stats. I know you got something. I'm going to keep saying it until it sticks.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure none of you said Patrick Mahomes.
Go ahead. Yeah, you're good.
League MVP.
So he is – I just wasn't really paying attention during Brian. I remember the other two. But so he has 3,100 passing yards, which is the top of the league in week 11. He has 31 touchdowns thrown, and he only has 7 interceptions, and he's completed 67 of passing attempts. That's really great for a quarterback. So I'm sure that's going to be something great, and you got to look out for him. Again, completely winging it, but, you know.
Great job, Mike.
Oh, you absolutely made a great pick there. He might be the leading candidate in the NFL for the MVP, and I can't believe we didn't even mention the other leading candidate in the NFL for the MVP, Todd Gurley. This season he's got 988 rushing yards for 13 rushing touchdowns. He's added a bunch in the air also. He's just having a ridiculous season. Doug, I know you're in a lot of pain right now as I say this, but he's been incredible. Best running back in the league.
Yeah, ton of realistic MVP candidates this year. You got Gurley. You got Mahomes. They're both playing in the spotlight tonight. You also got Drew Brees on the Saints.
We can't
talk about this guy enough.
Unbelievable.
Having a career year with maybe the best weapons he's had in his career with Kamara and Michael Thomas, mm-hmm. Mark Ingram, Tre'Quan Smith stepping up.
Everybody. Just put everybody.
Just that whole Saints offense. And really three legitimate MVP candidates, and I'm excited to see two of them go at it tonight.
Yeah, and another guy in this game definitely need to look out for is I believe there are two, even though we're talking so much about the offense, there's two defensive player of the year candidates in this game. On the Rams, you got Aaron Donald. He's
totally.
Been a sack monster. He is their run defense. He rushes the passer. He does everything for that team on defense. He's been having a truly incredible season. But then also on the Chiefs side, Dee Ford, the guy could rush the passer like no one else is. Easily the breakout player in the NFL this year. He's an excellent speed rusher on the outside for the Chiefs. Really leads that defense, and it's a Chiefs defense that has stepped up in a few recent weeks. So, I'm interested to see how those players do against such high powered offenses.
And another defensive player before you go, Mike, that I want to take a look at tonight for the Rams. Excuse me. He was on the Jaguars earlier
yep.
in the season. Dante Fowler Jr. He last game. 4 tackles, a sack, a forced fumble. I'm looking for him to really step in that spotlight tonight and maybe get adjusted to that big role with the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, not the Jaguars. The Rams.
I'm on CBS Sports right now, and it also says that the Rams' answer to Mahomes could be Jared Goff as well.
Another potential MVP game.
Unbelievable.
He's having an incredible season.
I've never even heard of him, but, you know.
So those are our spotlight guys for this week. For this Monday night matchup, should be one of the best games of the season. A fantasy outbreak, one of the biggest games in fantasy, should be a huge total for your guys tonight. Expecting a shootout, should be a fun time. Monday night in the spotlight, we're ready to go. We'll be watching, and should be a great game tonight. Since today's podcast is on a Monday, I think we should just talk about the three games on Thanksgiving just before we go on that break. There's a few pretty solid games. You got Chicago going to Detroit. Detroit always hosts the Thanksgiving matchup, and Washington then going to Dallas. And the night game is Atlanta at New Orleans. Out of these three games, which one stands out to you?
Atlanta, New Orleans really stands out to me. I mean, Atlanta's been reeling a bit. They lost two straight. Just lost a tough one against the Cowboys this week. But their offense is starting to get things together. They weren't great earlier in this year. The offense was great earlier this year, but Atlanta as a whole wasn't great earlier this year. They put a nice little winning streak together early in a few weeks ago in the season, but they kind of fell back a bit now. I'm interested to see how they do against what's been the best team in the NFL as of late.
Yeah, that should be a really exciting game, but I think the Saints are just too good. The Saints are probably the best team in the NFL at this point. And I'm excited to see Steelers-Saints later on in a couple weeks. But at this point, New Orleans has just taken over games. Their defense is playing well enough to keep their offense scoring at a historic pace. They put up at least 30-plus points a week every week. Their offense is electric at the least.
To say the bare minimum.
Yeah. There you go. They're a great team, and it should be a good matchup. But I'm looking at the 12:30 game, Chicago going to Detroit. Detroit, not a great team this year, but the game is in Detroit. They always play in at the Lions Stadium on Thanksgiving. They're coming off a big win against Carolina. Carolina, disappointing. I thought they would have a bounce back. Did not against Detroit. And Chicago, last night, another big win. I'm loving the way they're playing, but I think this will be a closer game than a lot of people think.
For sure. Divisional matchup. The Lions on Thanksgiving. Always tough. What can you say about the Bears, though? Mitch Trubisky, not a great game last night, but yep. really leading that team. And Khalil Mack, they gave up two first-rounders for him. I'm not
Worth
sure.
Worth it.
I think I would have given up seven first-rounders for Khalil Mack because he's just that good. He's a generational talent. And
Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
And, yep. and another guy for the Bears. He's obviously the Pro Bowler, but I'm looking at Akeem Hicks that on that defensive
wow.
line, really having a breakout year this season. Should be in a writing for Pro Bowl for sure. And, I mean, we'll see what happens, but he's really been outstanding too alongside Mac.
Absolutely. And that other game is Washington at Dallas. Dallas on Thanksgiving, obviously, that they always play there.
Mm-hmm.
But Washington, I want to see what they could do with Colt McCoy at quarterback after Alex Smith had that gruesome leg injury, broke two bones in his leg. It's devastating for the Washington Redskins. But what I do wonder is how much are they going to miss him? He is their quarterback right now. But what has he done this season that Colt McCoy won't be able to do other than not turning the ball over? He's not taking chances offensively. I think that they'll be okay without him, honestly.
I'm
interested to see how they could do against a tough Cowboys defense.
Colt McCoy could be legit.
He played well stepping in on Sunday. And while we're talking about the Redskins QBs right now, I just want to give a quick shout-out to my boy, the Sanchez, Mark Sanchez. Redskins signing him as a backup for the rest of the season. And you never know. He'd get some run if Colt McCoy doesn't play up to expectations or gets hurt. But I think McCoy... It really isn't that big of a step down
loved
from
them,
Smith.
Loved him in college.
He was great in college at Texas. And Colt McCoy, really, he was using his legs a lot on Sunday. And I think he just brings a different element to the Redskins' offense than Smith does. Not saying he's better, but
right.
it's a different element to the offense.
Absolutely.
Well, it's right. definitely going to be a big matchup, too, because they're fighting for first place in the NFC East. If the Cowboys win, then it'll tie him for first. So this is also going to bring a lot of emotion to the game, too. One of these teams is going to come out either on top or tied, which is just – it's going to make for a very fun stretch.
Yeah, but the Cowboys in recent weeks – and I'm Keyshav wanted me to talk a bit about the boys. But they've been pretty stellar. They figured something out. Amari Cooper, a huge acquisition. And I'm telling you, the NFL revolves around the offensive line. If you have a decent offensive line, you can win football games because it's protection. You have time for the routes to develop. And it works out. Dak Prescott's a much better quarterback when he has a few extra seconds to decide what he's going to do. And as I said, Amari Cooper, huge acquisition, been great for the Cowboys as a number one receiver. It allows for Gallup, Beasley to shine and take a lot of attention away from the lower class receivers on that team. So, and you got to talk about Zeke, of course.
Of course.
Zeke is...
That's been the real key in their offense.
Totally.
They've started feeding him. They gave him the ball 23 carries this week, 19 carries the week before, 6 catches the week before, 7 carries this week. He's touching the ball more. That was their problem when they were losing. They weren't getting Zeke involved in the offense. Now they're feeding Zeke, and they're winning.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Zeke, everyone was bashing him at the beginning of the season. This guy's second in the league in rushing yards. He's really been great. That offensive line really coming together. And anytime the Redskins and Cowboys play this season, you get a little bit of the past and a little bit of the present. You got Zeke. You got Adrian Peterson for the Redskins, the 33-year-old, who's really just having an unreal season for a 33-year-old. He had a couple touchdowns.
Comeback player?
A couple touchdowns. 100% could
potentially.
Be. Potentially. And I'm really impressed what I'm seeing with him. And, you know, when maybe the best running back of all time, not saying he is, but in that discussion, meets with one of the best running backs in the league today, it's always something to watch. Yeah.
So a great feast on Thanksgiving Day. Three-game schedule, 12:30 Chicago Bears traveling to Detroit, 4:30 is the Redskins and the boys, and the night game, who will get the turkey leg? We don't know. It will be between
Drew
Atlanta
Brees, Alvin Kamara,
and New
Michael
Orleans.
Thomas.
It's pretty easy to guess already.
We kind of know. I'm just interested to see how that game goes, though.
Well, I want one of those turkey legs.
They look pretty good. Not going to lie.
And I heard last
cooked.
Night.
Yep.
I heard last night. Famous chef coming to New Orleans making that turkey this year.
Exactly.
He's going to be making it for his boys.
I'm a little lost, but okay.
So the NFL has a lot of great stuff coming up. But college, this weekend, pretty good games on the schedule that happened. Tough one for my boys at Cuse, 36-3 loss to Notre Dame. And Notre Dame's legit. Those are some real men. Those receivers on Notre Dame, those are NFL prospects that are going to get drafted and play in the NFL. So tough one for Cuse. Brings them back down to reality. It is what it is.
Great season, though. Dino Babers.
Totally.
Hell of a coach.
They'll make it to a pretty solid bowl, too. So,
100%.
So I'll take that as hopefully. I'm not even going to say it. I don't want to say anything about Cuse right now.
We got to bring up the most competitive game of the day in my eyes, and one that hurt me pretty bad watching it. Ohio State, Maryland went to OT. Ohio State escaped with a 52-51 lead. They were showing Urban Meyer on the sideline the whole game. He was frustrated. He did not look well. Ryan and I pointed
really
that out.
He really did not, no.
And Maryland, you make the decision at the end of the game to go for two in overtime as a two-touchdown underdog at home. That's a no-brainer. And
Just missed him.
Deshaun Jones wide open in the end zone. Tyrell Pigrum rolls out. Don't know if he was trying to lead him, but if you can look at that play, Jones was pretty open. Disappointing end for the Terps, but they have nothing to hang their head on, as definitely a team dealing with a lot of emotional stuff from the fallout of the Jordan McNair thing,
absolutely,
his tragic death. And all said and done, it's a pretty good season for the Terps, and definitely a game that captivated the country on Saturday.
Absolutely. So my takeaway from this week, everyone knows that guy that says, oh, UCF needs a chance, UCF needs to be in the playoff, whatever. I'm that guy.
I'm that guy, too.
I'm that guy. I think UCF is a top team in the country. They're playing excellent football. They've now won 23 games in a row. This week, they played a ranked opponent in Cincinnati. That's a top five. It's definitely a top 10 scoring defense in college football right now. And they beat them pretty badly. They were dominant in that game. Final score of 38-13. College game day was there. Everyone was hyped up for that game. And UCF showed up. They deserve a chance. I don't know if they're not. You can't put them in the playoff because they don't have the strength of schedule. But in my mind, I believe they are a top four team in the country. I think they would compete with these teams that that are up there. And I think it's an excellent argument for expansion of the playoff. I think you need to, because teams like this can't be left out.
The playoff is just one of those systems where group of five teams will just never have a chance, unless you were like Houston a few years ago when they beat Oklahoma, they beat
and
Lamar
Louisville.
Jackson on the road, but they just couldn't pull it out. But UCF, definitely a great team. If they keep on winning and they pull out another win in a year six bowl, maybe it'll change the conversation. I still don't think it will. But and they're also, Brian, I know you saw from Saturday night, they're one of the fastest teams in the country, too.
Absolutely.
Speed on all edges. Adrian Killens Jr., he's a guy I know from UCF, played Maryland the past couple of years. And I've just been watching a lot of UCF because they're really fun to watch. Mackenzie Milton, the quarterback from Hawaii.
He has to be an NFL prospect.
He's a small guy, but I agree. He threw for three touchdowns on Saturday night. And UCF, really just a fun team to watch. If you haven't watched them yet, take a look at them. They'll be in the top 10.
Hopefully.
They better be in the top 10.
They should be. They should move ahead of Ohio State at 10. They should at least start entering the conversation.
So we're good with the college football. We spoke. Anything coming up?
Rivalry week this week. A ton,
oh, yeah. Big
a ton
games.
Of big games. You got Michigan, Ohio State. That's where game day is going, to Columbus.
Huge.
That's the biggest game on the schedule. Although Ohio State just doesn't look like a playoff team to me. And I think even though it's in Ohio State, and Ohio State will be fired up to play, it's just plain and simple. Michigan's better than Ohio State this year.
Yeah, I agree, but I do think Ohio State's going to pull this one out. Michigan chokes against Ohio State.
It's true.
They've been doing it for years now. They've been choking against Ohio State under Jim Harbaugh. And as they enter Columbus this week, I think Ohio State's going to show up for this game. They're not going to overlook them as they seem to do against Maryland this week. That was the definition of a trap game on the road like that. Now they're back at home. I think they'll take care of business.
Yeah, I want them to take care of business because I'm not that huge Michigan fan. Could be going to Ohio State. Me and Brian, we'll
never
see.
Know.
But
you never know.
But I don't know. I just think Michigan's more talented this year, and I think they find a way to get it done in a low scoring game in Columbus.
So rivalry week coming up in the college football circuit. Another thing that I want to bring up. Maybe you guys don't know what's going on this Friday at 3 p.m. is a pay-per-view event. Tiger Woods against Phil Mickelson.
It's
about a $20 match. $20 pay-per-view, one-on-one. Winner takes home $9 million. It's in Las Vegas. I mean, can we just talk about what's going on here? These are two of the best golfers in the world right now.
Great for the brand.
Going up against each other in a pay-per-view match, one-on-one, unprecedented what's going on, and it should be really exciting.
Absolutely. I think you really want to make it interesting. You take Tiger Woods, you take Phil Mickelson, you have each of them wager $4.5 million, winner take all. I think that would be a little better. That would be a little more fun to watch because they'd definitely be very into it there. But winner gets $9 million.
No, that's it. No. They're giving the loser pays the winner.
$4.5 million.
Okay, that makes it a lot more interesting.
Now I'm all in.
The winner pays the loser pays the winner the $9 million right out of his pocket.
I don't care how rich you are, $9 million. You do not want to.
That's
go
a lot
out,
of
lose
money.
$9 million. Jeff Bezos doesn't want to lose $9 million out of nowhere. So that's gonna be interesting. I want to watch that.
Yeah, if you have time, check out the 24/7. They have a Phil versus Tiger 24/7. It's on HBO. It's a great little documentary, and they've done it for the Winter Classic and those hockey games as well. Just a great insight on what's going on up to the event.
Yeah, I know Bleacher Report's been all over that match too. Maybe on Bleacher Report Live, their new streaming thing, not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But check that out if you're interested in that.
Well, it's almost like the Mayweather-McGregor fight too. It's going to get hyped up, and it's going to be cool. 1v1 matchup, you never really see that in golf, so that's kind of cool to get to see that happening, especially with the top two golfers possibly in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so this week we're going to try out a new segment, which has been in the works for a few weeks. Garofa had this great idea. Garofa, I'm just going to let you explain what this segment is, and then we're going to go right with it.
So this segment is called the Topic of the Week, or possibly Topics, which today I'm probably going to do two. So we're just going to, just to lay out the land. So pretty much I'm getting a random topic online with a random conversation starter generator so that we can just talk about something other than sports a little bit on the podcast, kind of broaden our horizons. Because, you know, everybody loves sports, but then there are people who don't. And, you know, this way there can be more people listening to the podcast who maybe don't even really care about sports.
And
so
you want to hear about us, too.
Right.
We'll give you guys opinions
on all
topics.
Takes. People. We're
hot takes no matter what.
All right, exactly. So, Garofa, let's hear the first topic.
So, mind you, they don't know the topic yet. I do, obviously, because I have it. But they don't know the topic. It's going to be interesting. Some of them might be a little bit more controversial than others. But, you know, we'll figure it out.
I'm a little nervous here, Mike.
Ready. I'm ready to go.
I'm fired up.
Here we go.
I'll go first because I'm the one who sees the question first. But the first topic ever is, what is your favorite breakfast food?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is light.
It's
easy.
Interesting.
Easy question.
I don't really have a ton of breakfast foods, but honestly, an egg bagel sandwich, you can't really top that. That's pretty sick.
No, you can't. That's definitely a solid argument you have there. You can't top it.
It is, yeah.
But
just egg sandwiches, they're
awesome.
I'm
going to have to go away from that. I'm a big Belgian waffle guy.
That's a good one.
Belgian waffle, you get the cereal on it. Cereal, wow. You get the syrup on it. I'm sorry about that. You get the syrup on the Belgian waffle. Maybe a little bit of butter on there.
Fresh strawberries, come on.
Fresh strawberries
cream
on the side.
Oh, baby.
Absolutely.
Now we're
oh, baby.
Now we're
I'm not a strawberry guy on waffles, but you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even chocolate chips sometimes.
I'm just a big Belgian waffle guy.
So Brian's got the Belgian waffle. Garofa has the egg sandwich.
I'm going with Old Reliable here. Chocolate chip pancakes.
Absolutely.
How do you not go with this? You know, my parents, Hillary and David, they each make their respective chocolate chip pancakes. They're pretty good. I enjoy them. Go to the diner and get yourself a big stack of chocolate chip pancakes at Dixo's Diner. I don't think anyone's ever finished that full stack of chocolate chip pancakes.
I have finished Belgian waffles at the Dixo's Diner, though.
Wow. Well, yeah, but chocolate chip pancakes, just an electric meal.
Giant stacks, absolutely.
You throw some syrup on there. If you're going out, you get a little side of bacon, a little side of sausage. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself. It's a nice meal.
Yeah, when I'm thinking about breakfast right now, clearly you can make a lot of these at home. Like the breakfast sandwich is more of a weekend. You're bringing it in. But when I'm going out for brunch or possibly a diner trip, you just got to go with probably just a stack of pancakes. Buttermilk pancakes, maybe a little bit of fruit on top, probably strawberries. I'm a huge strawberry guy. I love it. I'm thinking syrup, strawberries, a stack of buttermilk pancakes with either sausage or bacon on the side. Obviously, I'm a huge breakfast guy. I love French toast. I love Belgian waffles.
One of the breakfast
food guys. I love food. This is the greatest segment ever. I love this.
We're going to – one more topic. We're going to just keep going because this is
great.
Fun.
We'll do
okay.
One
this
great.
One, a little bit different. What is your biggest fear? This is going to be interesting. Mine,
are you going first?
Yeah. Mine, spiders. I absolutely, honestly, second I see one, I almost cry. You know, I'm sure other people can relate, but that's for me. Sure. Absolutely.
All right. I'm scared of my team's lose. No, I'm just kidding. my biggest fear in life is 100% heights.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot deal with heights. I don't like roller coasters. I don't like any of that stuff. And when I was in Toronto on a camp trip, a few years ago, 2015, that was more than a few years ago. That was a while back now. But I remember it like it was yesterday. CN Tower, if you don't know, look it up. They got, it's like thousands of feet up.
Running through the six.
They got a little glass floor. And you got a little glass floor. You look right down. It looks like you're standing over nothing. And I got pushed onto the glass floor.
I was
absolutely terrified. Oh, no. I just don't mess with heights at all.
Yeah, I'm not a height guy at all. I hate all that stuff as well. But my biggest fear is probably messing up on live on our broadcasts.
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting.
That's a huge thing for me. Because it addresses my career, my possible career as well. That obviously, every time you're going to do a show, every time we do a podcast, anything that we're doing with live broadcasting, there's always a fear that you're going to mess up. But it's really just how you recover. But you're always going to be nervous every time you speak because you don't want to make any mistakes. That's just my biggest fear because I don't like to make mistakes on a broadcast. I want to be as professional, and I criticize other broadcasters when they make mistakes.
Yeah, it's hard not to.
In the moment,
but you
got
to be able to criticize yourself too.
Exactly.
As long as you can do the same.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah, my biggest fear, very specific fear, okay? Getting stuck outside in a thunderstorm. Just always. Lightning,
really?
Lightning's
That's
always,
cool.
Lightning's always freaking out.
You should hide under a tree.
Never hide under a tree, folks. Never do that. You'll get struck by lightning. very, very dangerous. But being stuck outside in a thunderstorm, don't know why, always got me scared.
I can see that.
Yeah, but it's weird because inside, I'll watch lightning all day. Love it.
Yeah, right.
The one of the coolest things you could see.
It is really electric. We're just waiting for Garofa to tee it up.
Take me outside.
There we go.
Yep, there it is. It's electric. But take me outside, thunderstorm? Nope, I don't mess with that at all.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do one more? We're just gonna move on.
I kind of want to do. Okay.
Last one. We gotta save some for.
Last one.
I mean, there's probably like millions. But I don't know.
Last one.
So last one. What is your favorite childhood cartoon?
Oh wow, this is hard.
All right, again, I'll go first.
You can go first.
So mine's got to be Bugs Bunny. I loved the Bugs Bunny cartoons when I was younger. I think I've watched like every single one. It's our childhood. I mean, we grew up on cartoons unlike other people, but, you know, I think Bugs Bunny definitely got to be my favorite.
Yeah, SpongeBob SquarePants.
I think we all agree on that, right?
I mean, SpongeBob, grew up on SpongeBob, love the guy.
SpongeBob wrote your brain. No, it doesn't. It's a great show, all right?
Yeah, my mom, actually, I love SpongeBob so much as a kid. My mom told me I was not allowed to watch it anymore around age 7 because she thought I was becoming dumb. So she made me watch, Magic School Bus for a year, and hopefully it maybe turned out all right. So, but I was able to watch SpongeBob again right after age 7. Loved it. Didn't rot my brain. So
a lot of people don't. Everyone loves SpongeBob, but a lot of people don't like Squidward. Very underrated character.
Squidward.
Absolutely hilarious.
I think the older you get, the more you relate to Squidward. Everybody knows
True,
which is why it's a kid's show and which is why it's a great dynamic they got going on over there.
Yeah, of course, Patrick Starr is hilarious as well. Just dumb as rocks, but...
Dumb as rocks.
Great character.
That's why he lives under one.
Great casting. Just an outstanding show.
You got my boy Krabs. My boy Krabs, Mr. Krabs.
Miss Donna gagging over there. She is definitely not a fan of SpongeBob.
This is definitely a great segment. We have SpongeBob, and let's just try and have two others, even though it might not be your favorite.
All right, my comments about rotting your brain before, they were half joking. If you can show me the scientific evidence that SpongeBob rots your brain, I'll be more than open to
it. We need a brain of like a child who watched SpongeBob for 10 years and someone who never watched it in their life.
But you want me to bring up another cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
I mean, I as a kid, I was a big Thomas the Tank Engine guy. Yeah. That wasn't really a cartoon, though. More like
the Wiggles, but they're not cartoons. Yeah. Those are real people.
Yeah.
those are grown men.
That's true.
Those are grown men in costumes. That was an outstanding segment. I'm thrilled about that, and I'm excited for the weeks to come. And hopefully that carries over to next year. But now you have a little bit more insight on what we enjoy, our opinions on things other than sports. So, great segment.
Yeah. Still love sports more than anything else.
Well, that's true. Sports are life. Sports are life.
Of course.
Enjoy your life.
Sports are life. And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapano and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday, and finally, a thank you to the class of 2016 for their very generous donation towards our podcast setup. Thank you to our live audience today, the Yearbook Club, and I'm Ben Dixon alongside our always reliable producer, Mikey Stats, Douglas Tatuka, Brian Flattow. We will see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving.